You're listening to The Pulse on University Radio Nottingham.
It's SU election season, which means it's time for you, the students, to help shape your union.
What do you want to see from your students' union officers? Which candidates represent you? What can the SU do better?
All students get a say in who runs their SU.
Use your voice and vote.
Voting opens on the 13th of March and closes on the 17th of March.
Your say, your SU, your Nottingham.
Welcome back to the Monday Pulse. We are now moving on to our national story. Now, it is still technically national as it is all part of the UK. However, we are travelling across. We are travelling across the Irish Sea to Northern Ireland now, and Callum is going to introduce our story.
Yeah, and I think travelling across the Irish Sea is the big issue here. But we have breaking news today that after, well, 4 months of negotiations, 7 years, you might say, we've finally reached a sort of rudimentary agreement on the Northern Ireland Protocol. So, at a joint press conference with the European Commission von der Leyen, the Prime Minister said, "We've now made a decisive breakthrough. We've changed the original protocol, which is obviously agreed by Boris Johnson when we left the EU initially, and are working with this new Windsor framework, it's called, and we'll touch on the name and its sort of connotations a little bit later on. So the final deal would," he said, "would restore previously strained relations with the EU and go further to fix the democratic deficit, and it would do this by giving Stormont ministers a direct say in EU laws applying to Northern Ireland." Because that was one of the big sort of issues with it, that the ECJ, who obviously is a sort of constituent part of the EU, was still able to sort of deliberate on Northern Irish laws. They can, to an extent now, but that's been limited. So this sort of agreement, a sort of split trade into two, so you've got red and green lanes, which is actually an idea that was sort of bandied about back in 2019, but I think in Boris Johnson's wish to get oven-ready Brexit deal, he thought it was a little bit too well, it required negotiation, basically. So the red and green lanes sort of differentiate between goods that are coming from mainland Great Britain going into Northern Ireland. If they're going straight into Northern Ireland, the number of checks are sort of just, you know, rudimentary, and there aren't too many checks. However, if they're going from Northern Ireland, from Great Britain through Northern Ireland into the Republic and the wider EU, there's obviously sort of into the single market, there's wider checks there as well. So yeah, this deal was based on a proposal of sort of mirrored on Norway's relationship with the EU. It's fairly innovative, I guess. There's an acknowledgement of both sides to try and compromise to reach an agreement, and that would sort of be my first question, because in coming together, Sunak, say what you like about him, but he does seem to have compromised, been willing to negotiate. And do you think, I'll sort of say to you, Laura, do you think this is a new development with the EU? We've spoken before about a shifting relationship. Von der Leyen said they should take pride in the fact they've delivered. So do you think this sort of signals a shift in relations?
I think it's positive news that they've made progress towards finding an agreement with Northern Ireland, and I'm hoping this means continued improving relations with the EU.
Yeah, it's a very distinct shift in tone from the way she spoke. Well, spoke to both Johnson, but also Truss as Foreign Secretary and sort of latterly Prime Minister, because their view on the protocol was very much, we're not going to do any of the EU checks, which is obviously contravening international law. So that's quite a bold strategy, and Sunak's obviously come in. Why do we think then that he's sort of gone for this strategy? Is it, we've spoken before about how businesses are the ones feeling the toll of Brexit especially, and obviously he's personally and in his party very pro-business. Do you think that's the reason why he's, you know, been willing to compromise a bit?
I think it could be. I also think that Northern Ireland is a little bit of a sore thumb for them at the minute, in that they were backed up by the DUP during Theresa May's administration, And I think that they're still quite closely tied, particularly now that they've moved ever further to the right. Mm. I think that when they're going to start passing in things like the free speech bill in Parliament, they're going to need all the support they can get on that. So I think that that's going to be beneficial for them. Also, I wouldn't want to accuse any member of the Tory party of having humanity, but I think there's a bit of an issue around Stormont at the minute in that
Sinn Féin are in charge.
Well, yes, but also that there's this sort of this, it's so divided at the minute, and part of this agreement is that it gives Stormont more control over their relationship with the EU and the laws that are passed.
Is Stormont still under direct rule from the UK? So I know they
to an extent
they couldn't find an agreement, so it's sort of the parliament disbanded. Yeah.
One of the big things at the minute is that joint power sharing has basically collapsed. Florida, yeah. So I would hope anyway that one of the reasons of putting that clause in the agreement is to try and strengthen joint power sharing back in Stormont in order to work towards that being restored or at least agreed to in some way.
Yeah, it does seem, especially, well, obviously the Conservatives are in power at the moment, the Conservative and Unionist Party as they are, but the Union does seem to be under quite a lot of strain. Mm. Obviously you've got Sinn Féin in Northern Ireland in power, the SNP in Scotland in power, and Plaid Cymru have been
on the rise.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've sort of been in some kind of agreement coalition kind of thing with the Welsh Labour. So these are all anti-unionist parties, and I think that's, I mean, it's obviously, you guys might interpret it differently, but the fact this is known as a sort of Windsor Agreement, and we've found out today as well that King Charles is going to meet with von der Leyen for tea at Windsor Castle after she's met with Rishi Sunak. Buckingham Palace said the meeting had been arranged on the advice of the government, but Number 10 said it was fundamentally a decision for the King. Now, I guess, what do we think about this? Is this taking the view that the EU have a positive view of the British royals, so getting them involved adds some more validity to the negotiations? But then I guess there's also to consider, you know, that the institution of monarchy in Northern Ireland has got a rather complicated history. So, yeah. Jack, what do you kind of think to that? What do you think about getting the King involved?
I think it's an interesting one, because I'm not overly well versed on the sort of the government side of things with the policy. Also, I know it's been a big sticking point for Brexit, but I think I feel like the monarchy becoming involved on the advice of the government, it almost, and this is a very sceptical view, it just sometimes feels performative, and I wonder, yeah, the reasoning behind doing it, how much impact it's actually going to have, because as much as, you know, we respect our monarchy mainly on the whole in this country, obviously they do divide opinion, but I just it feels performative is the best way I could sum it up. I think I don't know if it's if the government really have advised the institution to do it. I don't think that it would be just purely based on how it would look should anybody turn it down, refuse to do whatever, even if it was a legitimate reason like I'm busy.
Well, it's kind of as you'd expect. It's not King Charles isn't meeting with the commissioner to discuss the protocol. It's to discuss, you know, climate change on a broader,
I was going to say that the King is, I think, across the board, seen as quite, certainly in comparison to our late Queen, quite a modern figure. He's very, very socially aware. He did a lot of work with when the riots around George Floyd's death started to happen. He did a lot of work around people of colour. He's obviously been a big champion of climate change activism, and I think that could be a reason to it. It's to sort of, obviously the EU likes to think of itself as quite a forward-thinking and progressive organisation, and indeed I think most European countries are in comparison to us, so that could be a reason for it. But also it like you said, Jack, it's performative, you know. A solid half of the people of Northern Ireland love the monarchy and are a heck of a lot more patriotic than the vast majority of people in the United Kingdom.
Is it even
Kingdom
a solid half anymore? Because it's Sinn Féin in charge now. It's the
I think the Catholic Irish, the Catholic Protestant populations generally tend to keep about 50-50.
Yeah.
So I think that election and Sinn Féin's rise to power is a bit more of a protest around the DUP and its utter failure of leadership in the past few years. And obviously there's that classic example of Edwin Poots, who I think is took power for 10 days or something and then resigned as DUP leader, or was resigned as DUP leader because he was going to face a vote of no confidence. So I think that could be the reason for it, rather than a difference in population size.
Yeah, so kind of coming to you, Laura, now. So we've sort of spoken about the role of the king. Obviously, Rishi Sunak's come out and said he's willing to sort of have disagreements within his party over this because he's doing it in the interest of the Northern Irish people. Obviously, naming the agreement after the king is maybe contradicts that a little bit. But we've seen Boris Johnson has come out and threatened to write an opinion piece against the agreement. Obviously, the ERG, the sort of European Eurosceptics in the Conservative Party, still hold a lot of power, and they don't particularly like this agreement. So do you think that this agreement is going to go through, or do you think it's going to see significant opposition? I think Sunak said he's going to give them time to look over it, but do you think it'll get through?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I think that the sort of Eurosceptics within the party might be quite against it, but Northern Ireland is such a sort of loaded subject, and any sort of mistake around it could restart the tensions that we've seen in the historically. So I would hope that politicians would be wary of doing anything that upsets deals and potentially upsets the Northern Ireland people.
Yeah, so I guess this is very much a economic matter in terms of not tariffs, but the sort of red tape, bureaucracy around goods coming and going. But it does signal a wider, more cultural, ideological look at the union. So sort of bringing it onto that wider point, obviously we've spoken about how each respective nation does have quite a large anti-majority, the anti-unionist population to an extent. Do we think that the union is under threat at the moment? Do we see something like Scottish independence happening? Obviously, Nicola Sturgeon's gone, so that threatens it a little bit. But say 10, 15 years, do we think the United Kingdom is still going to be four nations or an entity at all?
It's a really, really, really good question. And it's one that fills me with quite a bit of anxiety. I think it's all to play for at the next election. Labour sees itself as I'm working on the assumption here that I don't know if someone can push me back on with this if you don't agree with me, but I think most of us looking at polling would say it's pretty probable we'll face a change of government, and it's more than likely that Labour will end up being, if not the majority party, will be the majority party in a coalition government. And I'm quite shocked that they haven't assessed Scotland to be a bigger electoral territory that they need to kind of occupy and get control over right now, that because they're not, you know, they're doing well in the polls, but it's coming back from 2019 is still a massive challenge. I think in Scotland one of the best ways for them to ensure a win is saying we will hold another referendum on Scottish independence, and I think that's something that could happen again. So
yeah, especially with like a weakened SNP as well at the moment.
Yes, there's exactly
59 seats I think up for grabs there.
So that I'm not sure. Wales is an interesting one because whenever the question of Welsh independence is raised, it's always then followed up by Plaid Cymru not doing particularly well at the next election.
I think, yeah, Welsh nationalism is different in that it's sort of fundamentally a cultural nationalism. It's not so much, there's an independent sort of branch to it, but it's much more about, you know, yeah, the Welsh language, that kind of stuff.
Circling back to the monarchy, though, I'm quite surprised that the King hasn't yet offered to return the title of Prince of Wales.
Yeah, there was obviously it was the England-Wales Six Nations match.
Yes.
Which I don't want to talk about too much, given the result. But, yeah, there was Louis Rees-Samit, who's sort of Wales's, well, good relative, but he's one of Wales's better players. He sort of posted a picture of him with Prince William, and the comments were not very complimentary to the Prince of Wales, given that he is an England fan. He didn't go to any of the other Wales matches. He only went to the one against England. But that's like the cultural
claims
kind of thing.
To celebrate Wales. Claims to support Wales.
Well, he has to, technically, but he's very much an England fan. So, yeah, that's a big issue there. And like you said about the upcoming general election, whenever that is, I think given the sort of Labour Commission under Gordon Brown, which is all about devolution, the abolition of the House of Lords, it's very much devolution as well. I think, the sort of State of the Union and devolution is going to be a big thing coming forward in British politics.
Yeah.
That is our national story for the day, developments in Northern Ireland, and you can find out more about this on the Pulse Highlights, most likely, if you keep up to date with our Spotify channels, and I think Apple Music as well. Jake, Apple Music as well.
Apple Music, yeah.
Apple Music as well.
Apple Music
as well, there you go.